Now let's go to Matthew 9. I said Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27, starting in verse 27, and then we're going to look at Mark. We're just going to just touch on this real quick because we've got a lot to share. Then we're going to look at Mark chapter 9 also, right around verse 22. So here in Matthew 9, what's an interesting, you know, we won't go through the chronology of all of this, but let's just, as they say, kind of land here on the story here. We can see here, this is, if you look at the story, we had Jairus comes to him. And verse 18, he said, my daughter's even now dead. Mark, it says that she's nigh unto death. But this says here, she's even now dead. And so Jesus arose, and what did he do? He started to follow him, go to that dead girl. And then what happened on the way? You remember the story. It said the woman with the issue of blood, she came, and what happened? We can see right here. What caused her to receive? He said, because of your faith. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And you can see here that she received because of her faith. And, you know, when Jesus said, who touched me? And of course, the disciples, they're not born again. They're going, what do you mean, who touched you? Anybody ever been down to Times Square? You know, you walk like this, and sometimes it's crowded. Who touched me? What do you mean, who touched me? Stop touching me. You know, you can't. Everybody's pressed in. You're like a sardine. So this is what we have here. That I remember one time we were on a tour. The church went to Israel one of the times. I've been a few times. But one time we went into the old city. My goodness, it was more crowded than Times Square. I'm serious. It was just unreal. There were just people. It was a throng of people in the old city. And all, you know, they had all of these, what do you call it, places that do business, and they had all of that open. So again, I could just picture Jesus being thronged by people, and this woman received. How did she receive? According to her faith. And of course, now you see how Jesus goes into the house of Jairus. He raises this girl from the dead, and then he leaves, right? He leaves this house, and what happens? We have the two blind men that it said were following him. You know, when you read this, you know, sometimes you can just read right over it. They're following. It's like, okay, let's follow Jesus. No, that is not what that means. In the Greek, and it takes, you know, I can look it up in a Greek dictionary, but Rick Renner, who's a Greek scholar, he said, in the Greek, this word followed means to follow someone or something in a very determined, purposeful manner. They're like, I'm getting this. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus. These blind men had to have been around the house where Jairus was. They just saw a young girl raised from the dead. They're figuring, blind? I'm getting my eyes fixed. I'm going to see if he can raise this girl from the dead. I'm getting my eyes. So they were determined to get something. They weren't just kind of meandering following. It says they were purposeful to get something. Well, what is that? That's faith. That's a conviction to get something, right? So you can read right past this word followed. And Rick Renner says the word crying in the Greek, because they followed Jesus, they were crying and saying. But he said this word crying in the Greek means to scream, yell, or cry out at the top of one's voice. They were making themselves known. They were making some noise, right? And it says they were screaming as loudly as possible to get Jesus' attention. They're making some noise. Hey! And what are they saying when they're screaming? They're saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." And they're screaming. And this says here at the top of their lungs. Did Jesus stop? No. It says he kept walking. He didn't even turn to look. Now you would think he would have stopped. Isn't it interesting? And they kept screaming. Jesus didn't even stop to notice them. So he kept walking as if they weren't there. He was on a mission. So he didn't stop. Doesn't say why he didn't stop. So they're still continuing to yell, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." And what does it say here in the scripture? It says they followed him right into the house. They just marched right in. Now it doesn't say, and of course there's other scripture, you can go over to Mark chapter 2. This may have been Jesus' house. May have been. It didn't say he went into somebody else's house. It just says he went into the house. And actually some scripture, if you read in other translations, it says he went into his house. They'd interpret it that way. So he keeps going. Now, isn't it interesting? He said they marched right into the house. What is the first question that he asked them? Believe. He's trying to locate them. Believe ye. So they've been screaming. He said, "Okay, you got your opportunity now. I'm looking at you. I'm hearing you. What do you believe? Believe ye that I am able to do this." And what did they say? "Yea, Lord." Some of the translations say, "Do you believe I have the power to heal you? Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And what did he do? He did then what? It says, "Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you." He didn't say, "According to my power, according to my will, be it unto you." It was his will. He just raised a girl from the dead. He just mentioned that the woman with the issue of blood was healed. You figure there's thousands of people around him, and one lady touches him. And he said virtue or power flowed out of him. What caused that? Faith. Faith did. Faith, her faith in him. And it caused the power of God to flow. So you can see here in Matthew chapter in verse 29, it says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Now what's interesting is, you know, sometimes when you read over, let me just read some other translations. It says, "Have what your faith expects." This is Matthew 9:29, and I'm going to read from just different translations, just touching this. The Goodspeed, the Knox translation said, "Your faith shall not be disappointed." I like this. This is the Message translation. It says, "Become what you believe." Become what you believe. Be it unto you according to your faith. Become what you believe. The New Living Translation says, "Because of your faith, it will happen." You know what's interesting? People pay thousands of dollars. We won't name names, but people pay thousands of dollars to go get, as I say, pumped up at these motivational meetings and hear motivational speakers. And they'll tell you, see yourself successful, speak what you believe. I'm thinking, it's right here in the Bible. Become what you believe. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? So you don't receive according to what you need. You don't receive just because it's God's will. And yet you do receive because it is His will. But you don't receive just because it's His will. You've got to believe that He's provided it. You've got to believe that He will make it happen. You've got to believe that. That's why when you hear us make professions of faith, when you hear us when you make a profession of faith, it's, and I'm trying to keep from jumping ahead, but you call in, you speak to those things that you don't see, that you don't have. Why would you need to believe for something you already have? I believe I have a microphone. I got a microphone. Why would I need to believe I have something when I have it? I believe for that which I don't have. I believe for that which I don't see. And so this is what Jesus is saying. They didn't have eyes that could see. They believed that they could see. They believed that He was able to make them be healed. And they received. Faith caused the power of God to operate. That's why when you read over in the scripture, it says the power of God was present to heal. The power of God is present now here to heal. Why don't people receive? Because they don't reach out and say, I'm taking healing now in my body. And faith will cause the power of God to flow and operate. It's no different. If we turn the lights off, we could sit here in the dark and go, oh, I wish the power would come on. I wish the lights would come on. You've got to go do what? Hit the switch. And that's the same thing where faith is concerned. People are wringing their hands asking God to do something, and He said, I've already done it. I've already provided your healing. You have to now do what? Take it and receive it by faith and begin to decree and say, just like the woman with the issue of blood when she said, I believe when I touch the hem of His garment, I shall be healed. Yes. When I touch Him, I shall be healed. Was she healed up to that point? No. But when she touched Him, the power of God flowed. It moved. And so that's the same thing here. We've got to begin to say, we've got to begin to decree something that we believe has already been provided. I can't believe for something that's not the will of God. I can't believe for something that's not been provided by grace. But when I believe for something that He's provided, I'm doing what? I'm taking advantage of, or I'm not taking advantage, I'm receiving something that's His will. Amen. That's what we're doing. But here's the thing that I wanted to touch on here, which I started to last week. When you look at this word, when He said, according to your faith, what's the next word? Be. Boy, that jumped off the page at me last week or a week before when I was studying this. He said, according to your faith, be it. Amen. Be. You know, we can read right by that. The word be, if you look this up in the Greek, this word, I won't try to pronounce it, but it says to become, to come into existence, begin to be, it says to come to pass, happen, another word says to be made. So He said, according to your faith, be made. Oh, boy. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
So according to your faith, be healing. Be prosperous. Be, you know, peaceful. Be joyful according to your faith. It's not just going to drop on us just because it's His will. His will is that we be healed. His will is that we be prosperous. His will is that we have peace and joy, but it's going to take our faith to reach out and take it. And he said, when you do, be. Be it. Isn't that powerful? That's what he's saying. And we could read right over that. So grace provides and faith receives. So now let's quick jump over to Mark 9. Mark chapter 9. And again, we won't go down, you know, all of what transpired here, but let's start reading it. And this is, man brought his son with a dumb spirit. He brought it to the disciples, and he, you know, you read the rest of the story. It says that, you know, they couldn't cast it out, and so forth. And the father goes on, and they asked him, you know, how long is it, verse 21, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, verse 23, and Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, see, now back up. Let me just say this. It says here, but if thou, this is what they're asking, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And Jesus said unto him, and read from the King James, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You could read right by that. Most of the other translations, let me read this in the New Living. He said, they said, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? He said, anything is possible if a person believes.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. That's right.
Thank you. He says, what do you mean if I can? What do you believe? The New International Version says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. That sounds like a lot of what people do. If you just have pity on us, Lord, please help us. And this is what Jesus said. If you can, everything is possible if you believe. So, we are going to have to believe to receive. We're believers and not doubters. Now let's, I want to pick up here. We've got a lot to cover. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's go to verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. I touched on this last week. It was God's will to give the Israelites the promised land. He said, go in. It's yours. Take it. They went in. They went in, spied out the land. They came back and they said, we can't do it. And a whole bunch of them, including Joshua and Caleb, had to wander around the desert until all of them died off, except Joshua and Caleb. What is it? His will. Yes, but they didn't believe. And they didn't receive. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The New Living says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. We live by believing and not by seeing. This is the New Living Translation. The Living Bible says, we know these things are true by believing, not by seeing. We know things are true by our believing, not by our seeing. Something the Lord, you know, I was watching a little clip. It was a testimony. It was interesting. This young lady was in a car accident with her sister and brother-in-law. This was back in 1987. And her sister and brother-in-law walked away with scratches. And the car flipped over and, you know, was hit by a drunk driver. And she was paralyzed from the waist down. And she trusted God and believed God. And after 10 years, she became discouraged. And she didn't want to hear nothing about healing anymore, because she said, I go to healing meetings and I've been dropped and picked up and flipped and all of that. I don't want any more of it. I don't want to go to any more healing meetings. She got discouraged. And so after 22 years, she said she led worship. She was in a wheelchair. She led worship in her church. And she said she was at a meeting and she saw this speaker, and he was a pastor and a speaker, and I guess they became friends, and he asked her to marry her, and they did. But it was a wonderful story, just a short little testimony. But the husband would pick her up out of the wheelchair and put her in front of the mirror and say, "See yourself walking." And I thought it was just a very compassionate thing. The husband would do this. He would pick her up and dance with her. And he would just pick her up and dance with her and so forth. And he continued to do this for a long time. And so what happened was they went to a meeting. Her and her husband went. And she said, "Had I known that this minister would begin to minister on healing," she said, "I got to tell you, I would not have gone. I would not have gone." And she said her and her husband, I guess maybe because he was a pastor, they were seated in the front, and this minister came over and began to lay hands on her. And all I can gather from this is that seed had been planted in her. Seed had been planted. He laid on hands on her and he said, "The power of God is going into you." And she said, "For the first time, I began to feel some feeling in my legs." Hallelujah. And of course, the doctors told her she'd never walk again. So she got up from her chair, from her wheelchair. And, you know, there was excitement. And she said, "I just wanted to worship God, just worship God." So I began to worship God. And she said, "I got up and began to take some steps." And she said she had to. She had to get up and take some steps. Wobbly. You sitting for 22 years. So it took a few weeks. She said after 3 weeks, she got up and she was walking in front of her congregation. Totally healed. See? But there was faith involved there. She had to take some steps of faith. You know, that man could have laid hands on her and she said, "I'm not getting anything." See? So there was faith. And so, we're going to have to receive by faith. Believing is a choice. Doesn't just happen. Believing is a choice. Now, one thing, let's just take a quick look over at John chapter 20 and the account of Thomas. And of course, you know, here, after he had risen, he, in verse 26 of John 20, he said, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them." Well, let me back up to verse 25. It says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall what? See, they told him, "We've seen the Lord." And he didn't believe at that point, did he? He just said, he continues, except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So he had to see something. But we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He's got a glorified body now. He's not restricted by material things. And stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, get your bad self over here. Stick your fingers right in my... Yeah, right? He's going to put him on the spot. He said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless, but believing. Be not faithless, but believing. Huh. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. What? Blessed.
Hallelujah.
Say blessed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You want to know how to get over into the blessing? Believe when you haven't seen something. Believe the unseen. Now let's jump over to Hebrews 11. I want us to kind of start jumping into the lesson here for a minute. Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. It's the evidence. What's the evidence? Your faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. Blessed are those that don't see and yet believe. He's saying here, the evidence of your faith is things not seen. Not seen. The New Living, it says that faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Your faith gives you assurance of things you cannot see. The New International Version, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do not see. Certain of what we don't see. And the Weymouth says, and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. The Moffat's translation says, convinced of what we do not see. When I was quiet, getting up yesterday, just quiet, I kept hearing this in my heart yesterday. What does your faith see? And that was the thing I was like, let me think about that. It says, what does your faith see? Now, putting it in context of this lesson, we're not to see the seen, but we're to see what we don't see. We're to see the unseen. So your faith, that's why the Lord says, what does your faith see? And this says here, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So your faith needs to be convinced or assured of what you don't see. That's what faith is. What does your faith see? Does your faith see sickness? Or does your faith see yourself well? Does your faith see your restricted finances? Or does your faith see you prospering? What does your faith see? We're to see the unseen. Doesn't mean we ignore This, I'm not telling people to not go to doctors. I'm not telling you not to do that. If God leads you that way, go. I say this. I had a young lady say this to me down in Nanuet. We're teaching along these lines. Her heart was stirred, and she came out after the service and said, I hear you. And she said, but there's some things going on in my body that I've not experienced before, and it sort of sounded like they're not changing. And I said, well, let me ask you two questions. Is it God's will? Yes, I know it is. Okay? Then you, that's what I told her. I said, you stand on God's word until you get other instructions from the Holy Ghost. Period, end of subject. And that also means when people make choices, this is why I say, even going to the doctor, you need to get direction from God. Because I stood for a year in pain for something, and I said, I've got this, and I spoke over my body, and kept speaking. And when I've shared this, when I was in the shower after vacationing, I came back, I'm getting up in the morning, taking a shower, and I'm standing there, and I heard down here, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. That's just the way he said it. And I said, okay, I'm standing in the shower. I stopped and I said, July, August, September, October, November, December. Okay, that's 6 months. All right. And it took me another 2 weeks to get up off my something-something and go to the doctor. Because I was convinced I was healed. But that's why I said I learned something, because he knew something I didn't know. And I needed to change my diet. And that dietary change caused my stomach to start healing and restore in 2 weeks. See, I didn't know that. But see, we can violate natural laws and then try to apply spiritual laws, and it doesn't work. You're applying a spiritual law. I believe I'm healed. Bam. Heal my hand. Bam. And you're whacking it. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You violate natural laws. You can't now turn around and apply something spiritual along that line. And yet, God can override the natural. But things that God has put in our control to control and to change, we need to get some advice sometimes. We do. And so anyways, I share with this young lady, I said, you stand on God's word until, because everybody hold your Bible up for a minute. If you got a phone or you got a paper Bible, hold this up and say this. This is God speaking to me. That's what the Bible is. It's his last will and testament. This is God speaking to me. Amen. And people are going, well, God, tell me something. I said, I already did. It's in here. Read it. Amen. That's the problem. We don't read it. This is God speaking to me. So if you want to know God's will, go right here. Find out what he spoke to you. This is God speaking to me. Now, if he wants to not change what he's spoken, but if he wants to give you additional instructions, then he will. He may. What do I mean by additional instructions? Go to the doctor. That's an additional instruction. Go over here and do this. Go over here and do that. Those that are the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by an inward witness. So, we need to stand on God's word. We walk by faith. We become what we believe. We walk by this word here. We walk by faith in his will, in his word. And so, this faith is the substance, the assurance of things that we don't see. So faith, when it's faith, it sees the not seen. That's what my point is. What does your faith see? It sees the not seen. Faith sees the not seen. My eyes see the seen. But I've got spiritual eyes. What is that? That's my faith. It sees the not seen. Faith sees the impossible. That's what Jesus said. What's impossible to man is not impossible to me. So faith sees the impossible. Faith deals with that which is not seen and not felt. That's what faith does. Faith deals with things that are not seen and not felt. Now, continuing down, we're in Hebrews 11, look at verse 2. It says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things," what? "Which are seen were not made of things which do appear." It's the not seen. Faith spoke and caused the not seen to be seen. And so what's interesting here, so things which are made or seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So what does your faith see? Or what is your faith seeing? It's a good question. We walk by faith and not by sight. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" That's what we just got done saying. Hope, actually, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things expected. Hope, another word for hope, is expectation. I'm expecting it to come to pass. So here you could look at this scripture in that way. You could say, "For we are saved by hope." I'm expecting to be saved. "But expectation that is seen is not hope or expectation. For what a man seeth, why does he yet expect it?" Why is he expecting it if he sees it? You see? Verse 25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Now let's jump over to 2 Corinthians right there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it is. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's start reading from verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is" what? "Renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, Now look at verse 18. While we do what? Look not at the things with what? Which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So what is your faith looking at? It should be looking at eternal things, the things that are not seen, the things I don't have, the things that have been provided. You know, God is teaching me to keep, you know, sometimes when we get off looking at things in the scene, God has to remind us, what are you looking at? What are you meditating on? What are you looking at? What does your faith see? And that's a personal examination. And sometimes we're seeing the temporal. We're seeing that which is seen. He said here, things which are, he said, look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith has to believe the not seen, or for the not seen. Faith has to believe, I've got this. And people say, but you don't look like you have it. Right, exactly. That's why I'm believing for it. That's why I believe I received it. I don't have it yet. I have it by what? By faith. I have it now. I've got it. No difference if you got this money in your pocket and you say, I've got it. I've got this. And yet, you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it or smell it, but you've got it. How do you have it? By faith. And this says here, you're convinced of it. You're absolutely convinced that you have it. And you're not moved by what you what? See. You're not moved by what you see. What does your faith see? Does it see yourself prospering? Does it see yourself healed? Does it see yourself having those things that look impossible? You know, your mind is going to tell you, you will never have this. You will never get it. I was in a personal situation where I was sued because of a car accident. It looked like in the natural, I would never, ever, ever have or own anything. This was hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I thought, and I'm sitting there perplexed, saying, how am I ever going to, how is this going to go? I can't do this. I'm stuck. And in my office, I'm sitting at work, I'm sitting there, and I heard, I will rebuke the devourer for your, I jumped up off my seat. I said, oh, I'm a tither. He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I jumped up and I shouted. I mean, I'm shouting because I was stuck. My mind said, I'm done. I'm toast. Because the insurance on my car was the minimum liability you could put on the car. That's all I could afford. And I got sued. They said, well, you know, the insurance said, well, everybody in this county sues for at least $1 million. And I'm thinking, that's like the stratosphere. Forget it. What am I going to go with that? I don't have an insurance policy to cover that. So I began to speak the unseen. I began to say what the Holy Ghost showed me. And my mind the whole time said, you're going down. And every time those thoughts will come, I'd say, I believe that I'm a tither. I believe that the devil's rebuked. And I would say it and stir myself up when I felt like I'm going down. And the thoughts would just be coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. Finally, I'd just say, enough. I'm a tither. And I wouldn't make, I'm a tither and a big tither, and I'm giving. And the Lord's rebuking this. And I've told you this, I've said this story. I got down to where it had to go to the Supreme Court, and this went, and they said, you're not required to come. We'll call you if needed, blah, blah, blah. And so Monday went by, Tuesday went by, Wednesday went by, Thursday went by, and I'm thinking, okay, what's up? I get a letter in the mail the next week that said, thank you very much. This case has been settled under the insurance policy, which was the minimum. Well, how was that? I have no idea. The devourer was rebuked. That's all I'm saying. He was rebuked. And so you need to know, wait a minute. That's why I say when things come, when circumstances come in life, whatever it is, like Deacon Kent saying, the roof, whatever it is, you begin to say, you begin to speak, you begin to say, look, I've got a God that's for me and not against me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I believe that. If that's where you start. And God will begin to show you how to walk through this. Faith, we're not to look at the scene. If I had looked at the scene and continued to meditate on it, I would have begun to talk about it and pronounce it and release words that would have caused your demise. But I began to speak that which is not seen, that I'm delivered. The devil's rebuked. He can't touch me. And so that's what you got to do. You've got to begin to be convinced that God's for you. And begin to speak the promises of God. Which is say, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. See, sometimes people say, well, if you can't see it, it's nothing. Well, he said here, things. Things is not nothing. Things is something. He said things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank God. Amen. Now let's jump over to 1 Peter. Let's close with this. We're sharing a lot today. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to land on verses 8 and 9, but I want to, let's start reading in verse 8. Blessed, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, we have an inheritance, yes, incorruptible and undefiled, and what? That fadeth not away. It don't fade away. Yes. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through what? Through faith. So what does that mean? You're not going to be kept by the power of God. You've got to be acting in faith. This says here, who are kept, what? By the power of God through faith. Unto what? Salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein we greatly rejoice. Yes. Though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial or testing of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, let's look at verse 8. Whom, having not seen, ye love. Yes. We don't see him. It says here, what do we? Look not at the things that are seen, but that which is unseen. That which is seen is temporal, but that which is not seen is eternal. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Now, isn't this interesting? We're going to go slow here. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah, we rejoice, Lord.
Here's the thing. When there's faith, there's joy.
Hallelujah.
When there's faith, there's joy. Isn't that what this is saying here? Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy. When you're in faith, you rejoice.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
If you're not in faith, if you're not in joy, if you're not rejoicing, then I have to ask the question, are you in faith? Because if you're in faith, I'm convinced I got it. And I'm rejoicing. With what? With joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the question becomes, a faith person is a rejoicing person. I'm talking about a faith person. A faith person is a rejoicing person, full of joy. Why? Because they've got it. And they know they've got it. And a faith church is a rejoicing church. Isn't it the truth? I'll tell you what. How many people got a free vacation and go, I don't know. No, they're rejoicing. We're going on vacation. And they just want it. They don't have it yet. They just got a letter. You just won an all expense paid trip. I'm so sad. I'm going on a trip. I don't know what we're going to do. No, you're rejoicing. Isn't that what that scripture just said? That's a natural example. He said here, in whom it says, in whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice. A faith person rejoices. They're not sad. They're glad. They're full of joy. Why? Because we've got it. We're rejoicing. We're rejoicing. I'm prospering. Even when I don't have two nickels to rub together. I'm full of joy because God is blessing me. I'm blessed because I'm a tither, and he said he'd rebuke the devourer for my sake.
Yes, Lord.
You know, when the Lord spoke that to me a number of years ago, he said, if you would work the word in the area of healing, like you work the word, if you would work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So, It's His will that we prosper. It's His will that we're not strapped and restricted. It's His will that we're blessed and overflowing. But it's be it unto you according to what? Your faith. You've got to do what? What does that mean, work the word? Just like the woman with the issue of blood. You keep saying. You know, let me use this example. It's not even an example. It's in the scriptures. If you take a ship that's been going the wrong way and you begin to change the rudder, what did he say? He said your tongue is like the rudder. That's what the scripture says. On a ship, your tongue is like a rudder. Well, if I take this ship and it's going the wrong way and I now start to change the direction of that ship, it doesn't do a 180. It takes some time to change the direction of the ship. It's got to turn around slowly and slowly and slowly. Some of us stop saying what we believe too soon. We're changing direction. We begin to change the direction. We begin to change the direction. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said for years, the Lord had to show him when he was raised from a deathbed because he began to believe the scriptures, but he said he was poor and broke and couldn't make ends meet. Ran ball tires on his car. He said he wore the cheapest shoes, hitchhiked to preach the gospel. And he said, this is not right, Lord. And the Lord told him, he said, you're not doing what you're doing over here in the area of healing. He said, you're not speaking over your finances. You're not decreeing the promises of God. And he said, when he began to see it, he got their family all involved. And he said, he was traveling and he said, okay, you know, they didn't have cell phones then. They would write letters. And he'd say, okay, on this every day at 2:00, wherever you are, we're all going to pray this prayer. And they did. And he said his finances started to turn around. Started to call in. They began to believe for as a family and said, this is what we need to operate weekly or monthly to operate. This is our budget. This is what our bills are. And they began to call it in. He said and he'd go into places where if he was there the whole week preaching, he may have gotten $75 or $50. They thought $75 was like, Jesus is returning. Well, back then, that was a lot of money. Amen. And he began to call in $250. And he said, I wouldn't even tell the pastor. Because he said he'd have the big one. He'd say, oh my God, there's no way. You can't, no way. And he said he began to call in the money and it began to come. So that they could meet their bills and he would be doing what God called him to do. But he had to apply his faith, be it unto him according to his faith. He began to do what? Look at the not seen, not at my bills, not at the impossibility. He began to look at the not seen and the promises of God and began to say, I'm a tither. I begin to call this money in. And that's what we have to do. We've got to begin to look at those things that God has put in our hearts to do, whatever that is. Whatever it is. I mean, if I had known some of these things, even going to college, I wouldn't have, you know, and I say struggle to try to make ends meet, to go through work and go through college and do all of that stuff. I wouldn't have done that. I would have approached it differently. I would have begun to speak to those things that I needed. And so God is giving us the roadmap here. Faith looks at the not seen. So what is your faith seeing? That was the question he asked me. What does your faith see? That's what he said to me. I said, okay. In some things, I see the not seen. In some other things, I'm looking at the seen. So I've got to make a little adjustment, don't we? Because it doesn't mean we're all looking at the scene and the circumstances. Some things we might be looking at the unseen, trusting and believing God and believe we've received. But there could be some things we're stuck looking at the scene. And then we need to get some direction. We need to know, is it God's will for me to do this? If it is, then you stick with it. If it's something God put in your heart, you begin to adjust your speaking and your believing. Or I could say you're believing and speaking. Adjust it. Make the adjustment. You will prosper and be in health. Isn't that what, let's close, let's all look at this scripture. And we'll close with this. Let's go over to Joshua. We look at all the New Testament scriptures. Let's go over to Joshua 1:8. Let's look at the one that spoke up when the Israelites came back and had another testimony. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, "This book of the law shall not what? Depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." So we're meditating on what? Not the seen. We're meditating on the unseen, and we're speaking those things which are not seen. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Who's going to make your way prosperous? You are. "Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Yeah. Or in mine it says "deal wisely," and some translations say you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. Yeah. You'll know what to do. Yeah. Because you're speaking the word of God, you're meditating on the word of God. Right. And when things come, you'll just know what to do. You'll deal wisely. Yes. You won't make, you know, as I have and we all have, we've made some bad choices in life sometimes. Because we're being pushed and pressured. Well, when I'm speaking the word of God, meditating on it day and night, and I'm observing to do, I'm going to know what to do. Nope, let's not do that. Don't feel right. So faith is convinced of the unseen and rejoices. Faith people rejoice. Amen. Hope you got a little something, because I tell you, I like teaching on faith, and it helps me. Sometimes, you know, when we sit down, we start teaching on this, you look at your own self. Where are you with things? God will remind you, you know, you're doing good here, but you need to make an adjustment over here. Because if we don't, then we won't prosper as well as we should. And what does the scripture say? It says that it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. "For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder." He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith people look at the not seen and rejoice. Full of glory, with joy and full of glory. Glory to God. Praise God. So if you need to make adjustments, make adjustments. Rejoice at those things that you got. You know you got them. Rejoice.